pensónico, si su campesino sideral era un gran tiempo de híbridos, de salvajes científicos, panzones que estaban tísicos en la campechana mental.
For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garza.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
What you're listening to right now is Rubén Albarrán from Café Tacuba doing his version of Tiempos de Híbridos. It's part of the amazing soundtrack for a visually stunning film called Hecho en México, or Made in Mexico.
It's a film about Mexico, and it's narrated by music and is divided into chapters, several chapters, dealing with things like spirituality, gender relations, aging, and death.
When I saw this film, all I could think about was I need to get the soundtrack to this movie. Joining us in our NPR Culver City studios are the film director, Duncan Bridgman, and the film's music producer, Lynn Feinstein. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Hi, happy to be here.
This movie is about a lot of things. I mean, it talks about mortality, spirituality, gender relations. If you had to summarize it in a statement, what would you say this film is about?
I mean, obviously, in essence, it's about Mexico because all the artists are Mexicans. But more than that, really, it's just about the human condition and how people use art and poetry and thought to remove themselves from the difficulties of everyday life. So it's about Mexicans rather than about Mexico.
I like to say also that it's about how Mexicans think about universal themes. So I think it's provoking that you have such a big community talking about specific themes that are not related to the actual what's happening in Mexico right now.
At any point during the course of the making of the film, did it ever feel like you bit off more than you can chew, that there was almost too much to cover?
Yes. If you look up and look at the mountain looks very high and very foreboding. So what we do is you just work on the everyday level of what are we doing on that day. And the themes kind of dictated itself, really. The whole film was, there was no script or storyboard. So we just kind of looked for the characters that were exciting us in Mexico today, and we went to work with them, either musicians or thinkers. So we never really, yeah, because sometimes it did get a bit, what the hell, especially me, because, you know, I'm an English guy, I don't speak Spanish, I knew nothing about Mexico before I went there. I just have a way of making films with the music first that producer Bernardo Gomez saw in my last film, and I just kind of got on a daily basis of looking what was amazing in Mexico rather than what is horrible in Mexico, which is what everybody's making films about.
Right. That's my next question, which is, especially here in the U.S., it seems like the news that makes it here from Mexico is either a very gruesome drug war-related news or immigration. Is this kind of a response to that? Kind of saying there's a lot more that you guys should know about Mexico.
I think that is more about what Mexico is, no matter what period of the story of the country happens. I love to say that my preferred thing in life from Mexico is not the food, as everybody says, but the music. So working in the music business for me, in Mexico especially, it's been really clear that that's a huge potential of a country like Mexico to have music, because music heals. So it might be a response to what's happening right now, but I don't think it was our intention to do it.
And also the news that comes out of most countries is only the bad news. That's what's really weird. People seem to like bad news, and the PR of Mexico it's very bad, and it's not only abroad, it's within the country as well. You know, as you're sitting in the traffic jam each morning, as the newspaper guys walk past selling the newspapers, it's often some horrible dead body on the front. But it's not the reality of the majority of Mexico. You know, there's 120 million people there, and they're not all involved in the drug war or immigration. They're just getting on with their lives and worrying about their mums and trying to deal with life.
Is there a performance that you'd like to hear from the film that you'd like to hear right now?
I love all the performances in the film, but one that I think would be nice right now would be El Mensajero with Carla Morrison.
¿Qué es ahora? Mira. Mira tu vida. los brazos abiertos, mirando el presente. Es aprender a escuchar, es en tu mundo entrar, creerte todo y dudar, el momento, abrazar el presente. Este momento mira, con los brazos al cielo, mirando sin miedo.
That was El Mensajero from Carla Morrison. We're talking to Duncan Bridgman and Lynn Feinstein from the film Hecho en México. Duncan, what did you work on before this film? Give us an idea of what you've done and how you got to this film.
So I made my first film, One Giant Leap, and that was double Grammy nominated and changed my life completely. And then I did another one called What About Me? And What About Me was really the role model for Hecho en México. It deals with the human condition, dealing with big philosophical issues that don't really have an answer, but maybe when the audience hears it, it inspires something within them. And I'm not really a filmmaker, that's the important thing. I'm a musician, and I was a pop producer for like 25 years, of moderate success. And then I started realizing that as I became a musician, I wanted to make really good music, and I found I was not making good music. So I kind of sat back and I looked at what I wanted to do. Rather than to earn money, what did I really want to do? And I came up with this idea of, instead of putting music on at the end of films, why not start a film with the music and then cut the dialogue and the narrative into the music as if it's a rap? So each narrative, each speech will fit in with the music.
México es demasiado fuerte. Está dormido. Yo pienso siempre que el gigante está dormido. Déjenlo pasar su siesta y vuelve a resurgir con una fuerza brutal. Porque hay mucho, mucho, que hay mucho, mucho, que hay mucho.
Yo, oye México, tengo algo pa' ti. Estaba por mi tierra, mi chulo país. Canto pa' mis paisanos, mi barrio. Por la raíz del árbol que representamos. Hermanos, es lo que somos, humanos. Llegamos aquí, no sé cómo, pero aquí estamos.
I really like how you described the role the music played earlier when we were putting together the questions for the show. We were trying to really describe the role music plays in this movie, and it's not quite a musical, but definitely music is the narrator.
I would say it is a musical. I mean, the only trouble is, I mean, it's because it's not really a documentary, because we're not trying to prove something, we're just trying to reflect the inherent beauty that's in the world and or in Mexico. So I actually, trouble is, if you say it's a musical, people think it's a Broadway musical.
Exactly.
And it's definitely not a Broadway musical. But in the way of, like, you've got people talking and then suddenly songs come and then talking comes and then songs come, that is a musical, and the music is definitely the backbone of everything.
Somos mayas, toltecas, huicholes, aztecas, mariachi, tambora, pirámides y fuerza, naturaleza, un mundo en la cabeza, ánimo, compitas, esto apenas empieza,
I'm really interested by the fact that you hadn't been to Mexico before this movie, and I wonder, looking from the outside, what did that add?
I think that I because of my naivety and my ignorance, I could see Mexico for what it really is now, rather than what the PR says it is. Obviously, before I went there, my mom and friends and family were going, oh, my God, you don't go to Mexico. They'll kidnap you and cut your finger off and send it, you know. And I said, I'm sure it's not really like that, because in my last two films, I travelled through about 50 different countries, including, you know, some apparently dodgy places. But even when you go to the dodgy places, life goes on around that. And that was very useful for me in Mexico to just to see. I'm not interested in reflecting that side of it. I'm interested in reflecting the beauty.
I'm curious to know if you experienced any backlash from the Mexican film industry for you directing the film instead of a Mexican director.
I don't know. Nobody's come up and lashed my back. But I don't know. I mean, it has been a bit tricky. Who the hell does he think he is coming to our country and blah, 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 blah. Sure. But, you know, I don't want to be pretentious and sound like I'm doing this film for Mexico. People ask me big questions about, you know, what are your plans for Mexico? I'm just dealing with music and human emotions. That's all, really.
Speaking of music, let's hear some more right now.
Felix, you had a favorite song.
I had a number of favorite songs. But I think what we'll play right now is I'm going to set it up and then you guys can describe who is singing and the point you're trying to make in the film. The guy singing on the metro.
Adanovsky. Well, basically, it's a Leonard Cohen song, which has been a favorite of mine for ages. And the whole idea of the song is that behind the reality in your secret life, in your inside life, things are very different. One line, beautiful line, like, I would die for the truth in my secret life.
I love that line.
Yeah, and so my translator and assistant, Jose Pablo, he translated it, and it just seemed like the right thing to do, to go and do it, because everybody, when you're on the subway, it is a very private point, you know, in all subways or across the world, people don't really talk to each other, so you're very much caught in your own thoughts.
Right.
So
right.
It's a great contemplative moment.
Sonrío cuando me enojo, engaño y miento. Hago lo que puedo para la vida sobrellevar. Pero sé lo que está mal y sé lo que está bien. Y moriría por la verdad. En mi vida secreta. En mi vida secreta. Aguanta, aguanta, hermano. Aguanta, hermana. Finalmente recibí la orden. Caminaré por la mañana y por la noche también, a través de la frontera de mi vida secreta. Lee las noticias, da ganas de llorar. Que la gente viva o muera, a nadie parece importar. Y quieran que creas que todo es blanco y negro. Gracias a Dios, nada es tan simple. En mi vida secreta. En mi vida secreta. En mi vida secreta. En mi vida secreta.
That was rock musician Adanovsky.
Lynn, what does a music supervisor do?
It depends, because on the third world, I think I do the job of two parts of the work, which is one is the creative side, which means that you start with the script of a film and you see what needs the film has for a shooting part and then later for post. So I'm actually since the beginning in the film. If the film needs music on screen, then I'll produce that and then I'll clear the song. So I do the part of the lawyer and the creative part. And then once the picture goes into post, you start locking the songs into the scenes and start clearing them. and basically make the whole ride of the music industry these days smoother than what it could be.
And you're from Mexico, correct?
Yes, I was born in Mexico, yes, and I'm from Mexico.
You know, the music of the films of the legendary Mexican Época de Oro for the 40s and the 50s, in my mind, helped shape the musical identity of Mexico during that time, and it's had a lasting effect ever since then. You know, it had great songwriters like Agustín Lara, yeah. singers like Jorge Negrete, all the people that we love. To my ear, some of the films that you've worked on have done the same, have established a musical identity for the country. Is that something conscious, or is that something that just sort of happened as based on what you, how you hear music?
I think it goes in two ways. One is Mexican films don't have budgets, big budgets. So I always look for options of new musicians because I'm interested in new music, and also because they're cheaper than Soraya, Shakira, Alejandro Fernandez. So along the years, these 12 years that I've been working in the Mexican film industry, the things have changed. But at the beginning, it was really hard to get a song from Los Tigres del Norte for a movie. Huh. I remember trying to go and see, I think it was for Babel. We tried to convince Tigres del Norte to have a song to play. Actually, we have Los Incomparables de Sonora. It was meant to be Los Tigres del Norte. And it was really hard because we didn't have the money to pay them. So I think along these years, what I've done is I try to, based on the script, try to find options of songs that are not very expensive, try to put also new musicians on board of films, and then also try to shape a little bit according to what the director wants. So it's been always a work in common with Alejandro González Iñárritu or with Lee Daniels, or they're directors that are really musical and they're interested in that. So I give them playlists of music along the way since the script. So we start shaping that communication of what is going to end up in this film in post-production.
You know, and some of the films that you've worked on have been important to not just other people, but for me as well, to discover bands in the genre that we in this country call Latin alternative. How did you zero in on some of these younger bands like the ones you include in this film and in your other films?
Because when I was a kid, I never wanted to be a musician. I always wanted to have the latest album, the record. So for me, having records were really important. Still today, yeah. I collect tons and tons and tons of music. So I'm always welcome to hear new stuff. So I make playlists. So for me, when iTunes appeared, changed my life because I was able not to have the CDs, but to have playlists where to go. So still till today, I listen to a lot of music. I look for it. And I don't know, now with YouTube, having the video with it is more passionate. So basically, it's just like a collector's obsession that became a profession.
Well, when you hear of cool bands that you want more people to know about, just drop us a line and we'll hunt them down.
I will. I have tons of it.
We can't wait.
One musician that I was really excited to see in the movie was Ali Huaguanco from Cumbia Queers. She's doing like a street performance in the movie.
Beautiful, and she sings with Pato Machete. And it's a lot of the film actually is about borders, but not in the borders that you expect, like the border between the rich and the poor and the border between happiness and sadness. There's a line between everything. And with Ali, we got on really well straight away, and it was just a magical moment.
Señor DJ, póngase un disco. Ellos tienen el dinero pero cero corazón. I know they have the money but we have the fucking love. Ellos tienen el dinero pero cero corazón. I know they have the money but we have the soul.
Yeah. Ya voy de regreso, candelar que estaba ausente. A ese que brinco, nunca mente indiferente. No sirve el oro si a nadie tiene cerca. No sirve el oro si tu cabeza anda suelta. Ya me voy pa'l pueblo, ahí está toda mi gente. Voy para las sierras, extraña el sencillo ambiente. Veo diferencias teniendo similitudes. Todos tras el sueño de andar sobre las nubes.
Ellos tienen el dinero, pero cero corazón.
I know they have the money, but we have the fucking love. Ellos tienen el dinero, pero cero corazón. I know they have the money, but we have the fucking love.
That was Pato Machete.
Yeah, the borders thing is definitely present, crossing borders in and how porous musical borders are. Because something that fascinated me about this film is you really mash up artists who are coming from completely different places and who you probably would never catch together in a venue. I mean, you have mashups like, I don't know, Gloria Trevi and an indigenous folk band. You know, it's and
yeah, Lupe Esparza and Lila Downs is my is my proudest moment.
So, did you approach artists beforehand and say, hey, do you guys want to collaborate, or did the artists themselves pitch the collaboration?
No, basically, when I arrived in Mexico, because I didn't really know anything, my first job was just to sit down and listen and look and see what excited me. So Lynn would send me stuff, and my other crew would send me stuff, and I go, I like that, I don't like that. Then Lynn would say, okay, we can get to that person. And we go and just pitch the idea that everything gets, nowadays, everything gets put into little boxes, and I think that those little boxes are, they cause a lot of problems. And like when I first got to Mexico, everybody said you couldn't make a film that covers the whole of Mexico. It's too diverse and it's too fragmented. But then when I got there and I realized that it isn't at all, it's just people presume they are. So I put Mono Blanco with a rapper. I put Lupe Esparza with Lila Downs. I just love the idea of, because it's all rhythm and harmony. It's all coming from the same place. Inspiration comes from that, well, wherever it comes from. But it's the same place that it comes from. And so to mix up, you know, the different artists. When I hear Molotov, I hear the Huichol musicians. It's kind of, that's one thing that's really amazing about Mexico, that in England, the kind of ancient culture, it all got kind of slaughtered a long time ago. Similar here, really. But in Mexico, although the same, you know, the Spaniards came and it all kind of changed, the indigenous was strong. I don't know if it was stronger there, but it has survived, and the current music still seems to have that built into it, as well as obviously American influences and European influences, and it's a fantastic melting pot.
And also, I think it wasn't so difficult to pitch an idea like this to the roster of musicians we chose, because we listen to all that in music in Mexico. So you can really go from La Banda Limón to Molotov in one day in a party. So even though right. we try to be really clear, clean, those indie rockers that you and I know, yeah. they're not so clean. They end up dancing Gloria Trevi at 4 o'clock in the morning with tons of mezcal.
Absolutely.
So I think we are accustomed to that. You go to Tepito, and in Tepito or any of the like common or popular areas, you can hear rapper, you can hear now tribal, which is the new thing. You can hear dubstep, you can hear cumbia, and then you can also hear disco and tons of music. So we are a music culture that is in the streets. So that blend, when you go to Aliwa, when you say that if she wants to do a song with Banda Limón, it might not be so difficult for her, for them to understand.
Well, I think sometimes we didn't tell them.
And we got into trouble when they found out the mix.
Who's singing the mix?
I think at some point, someday, I'd like to hear that story about the 4 a.m. dancing with mezcal. But for now, let's hear that track from the Gloria Trevi track.
Mece la cuna, mece la cuna, rechina la cama, rechina la cama, rechina la cama, rechina la cama. ¡El mundo es nuestro!
La mano que mueve la cuna es la que domina el mundo.
So tell us a little bit about this collaboration.
Yeah, Cucinella was an incredible journey, really. It was one of the first things I heard when I got to Mexico. And what I really liked about it was that it's Huichol music, so it's kind of indigenous and it's ancient, but also it's pop music, and it's about the relationship between men and women. So that was one of the big aspects that I wanted to deal with. So that took us on, and then Gloria Trevi joined in. I took the same track to Tijuana, and we got the brass band, what are they called?
Agua Caliente.
Who then mirrored the Huichol riff, which is already, we were getting into amazing new territory. And then Gloria Trevi has this really funny conversation with the band.
Oh, that conversation, yes.
And then with the clowns, with Brosso and Bustamente.
And you know, when you're talking about universal themes, in that conversation, Gloria Trevi is speaking to another woman about about, she's complaining about Mexican men in general. I'm sorry, Felix.
Sexuality.
But she's also, you know, she has a part when she's like, los hombres mexicanos y sus mamadas. And the other lady is like, y sus mamás. And...
But which are two very important things for a Mexican man. Mamadas and mamá. Maybe only the virgin is the other third world in the third word.
But I was...
Yeah, the idea really was that the men and the women can never really understand each other. That's kind of something that I believe. That,
but you know what's great with this universal theme? I just kept thinking, this is in fact a conversation that could be happening in pretty much any culture. Not just Mexico. I mean, I think any woman in any culture, you sit her down, and if you get her going, she's going to probably say something very similar about men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when that comes back to the original thing when you said, what's the film about? Obviously, it's about Mexico and Mexicanity, but it's not. It's about, like, that bit, for example, men and women and how all this nonsense goes on around it. Yeah. But what really happened really great in Mexico was because I was... fascinated when I got there that I kept saying to Lynn, where's the comedy scene here? I mean, let's go and see the stand-up comedians, and there isn't one, which is really weird, because there is only Televisa, really, and Televisa has a way of making things.
And when there is one, it's basically albures, which I don't know how to say that in English.
It's
how
do like you say? Like dirty jokes.
But like, sexy, dirty...
Yeah, sexy, dirty jokes, vulgar jokes.
So when
jokes.
You go to stand-up, it's just a guy making fun of, you know, gay people or sex all the time. There's nothing outside of sex for the stand-up comedy.
So therefore, for this bit of the film, it was easy. But hopefully we did it in the best possible taste.
No, it's hilarious.
And it makes everybody laugh, and that's great. One of the two things that people say when they've watched a film is, one, you can hear them laughing when I'm in the... But you can't hear people crying. But they do say, they come out and they say, I cried for an hour. And then you think, well, it's not really a sad film. But what it is it hits a point below happiness and sadness, that kind of spirit point, something really deep. And when that hits, all you can do is cry, really.
So I want to switch gears just a little bit and go back to this decision to make the film pretty apolitical. Because Lynn, as you mentioned, you are far from apolitical, and you've been very vocal about media monopoly, and you also have participated in films that are definitely political, including the one that you mentioned about following López Obrador after the election before the most recent one. Now, the film has been criticized by some Mexican media for being apolitical. Do you think that's fair?
Yes. Not to criticize it, but to notice that it was a very definite intention. Because one, and most importantly, I'm not qualified to talk about Mexican politics. Maybe I'm not even qualified to talk about the human condition, but I feel more qualified to do it, and that's what I do, and that's what my interest is. So there is a bit at the beginning of the film where we gently set up this feeling in Mexico of this unease, and how the violence there is people actually feel that it's on their doorstep, which is, you know, a scary thing. But then why that's there, I'll leave that for other much more politically minded people to answer. I'm just interested about, once you've got that fear, how do you deal with that? How do you, you know, in your everyday life, how do you deal with that? And then the big chapter we have there is the freedom chapter, to actually discuss that issue.
You know, what really stood out to me, that the film is produced by Emilio Azcárraga, who owns Televisa, which is considered a media monopoly. And I'm wondering if you had doubts about being involved with this project once he got involved, when he saw the final cut. How did he feel about the criticism of the media's negative impact on the Mexican population?
I've been very vocal about Televisa and what Televisa has been doing with the soap operas to the Mexico La Conciencia Global de México, to the, like, a bigger
consciousness.
And I think this film has that incredible quality, and that's why I'm so proud of working in it, is because these people that have never done a thing like this, they not only put the confidence in Duncan and me to do it, but also they'd never said nothing to the cut. So I think for me, if Televisa starts doing films and shows like this, I made something in life. I made something really important. If I can put a small grain with Hecho en México on the TV in Mexico, if this film is being shown in Canal 2, that means something. Because it means that it can be, that thing, different things can be done, and not necessarily we need to have the soap operas because that's what rating brings to the company. So on that side, I think their involvement was really, I think it was crucial. It was their idea. It was Bernardo Gómez's idea to bring to the table Duncan and myself to do a film like this for Mexico. He gave us completely freedom. He gave us the support, and he acknowledged what we did. I think they never asked for anything. They never ever asked me for Maná to be in the film. They
well,
never
I mean,
asked me for Shakira.
Breaker.
No, that was really important. We chose what Duncan liked and what I know from Mexico. I brought to the table what I like, who my friends are, and of course, we put together these without any censorship. So on that end, I can only say that it was a blessing to do this film.
I mean, Emilio and Bernardo are clever guys, and I think that we had we had an incredible night. That the premiere in Mexico was at Bellas Artes, which is the most amazing, like, traditional, I don't know what the equivalent is in Washington, but it'd be like the Albert Hall in London.
Sure.
And we were there, and we had all the whole social spectrum from Emilio down to the Huicholes and the singers from Chamula, and lots of alternative people like Sergio Rao and Gloria Trevi was there. And Los Tucanes. So we had this incredible cross mix of people, and there was 1,200 people all sat down, and Emilio's there, and he's watching it. And I think that, as Lynn said, he's a clever guy, and he sees that, and this is a whole new, they would never, if Televisa had been involved all the way through, that was the most important thing. They did give us control. We hired our own crew. It was not a Televisa crew, and so they gave us the freedom, and he's sitting there, and I agree. I think that he's probably saying, okay, this is a different way of doing things. Who knows? Maybe Televisa will start making different kind of shows. As Lynn said, that would be the most amazing thing for us both.
Let's go into some music. Why don't you guys choose something that you want to hear right now from the film?
The Rojo Córdoba song.
Oh, yes, I love that.
Let's listen to the Rojo Córdoba
wow,
song.
Okay. So he's a speed poet, and through Gago Paco, a drummer, he introduced us, and he said, I want to write something specially for the film to really sum up Mexicanity. And he turned up, and we had to do two shoots because the first shoot he hadn't learnt it, and we were trying to hold it up with cards so he could read it, and I said, no, you're going to have to go away and learn this. And it took him like, I think it was like 2.5-3 months before he came back. And he came back and says, I know it. So we went to the subway and I put him at the top of an escalator, and it's beautiful. Even this is audio only, it's a beautiful list of Mexicanity and beautiful food and ideas.
Opens your appetite immediately after listening to this song.
¿Empiezo? 2000 Mex. Sé que no tienes forma definida, pero sé que estás entre el río Bravo y el Usumacinta, entre el Pacífico y el Golfo con todo y petróleo. Sé que estás cubierta de oro y plata y basura y bolovanes y versadores de rapantla, trenzas, tranzas, trocas, pocas, becas, que del fonca, héroes, piratas, made in China, cholos, microbuseros, chimecos, guerrilleros, garnachas, pasamontañas, ataris, valeros y crisantemos. Sé que tienes azules, amarillos, verdes, rojos, similares, Joaquines, José, Marías, Juanes, López, Pérez, Martínez, Beltranes, Pemex, Emex, Umex, tienes, barba, ruina, ruine, rene, rana de cerámica, bárbara. Si rueda chapacando melón, no sandía, que llueva, mojados, acarreados, levantados, secuestrados, adinerados, proletarios, centenarios, bicentenarios, pugilistas, beisbolistas, basquetbolistas, chicharitos y tomates, cebollones, tenepil, suadero, metro, llévelo, su coralillo, su cascabel, su San Judita, su San Charbel, su niño fidenzo, ferrocarrilero, carretera, bachebuche, nana, perejil, universidades públicas, privadas, otomís, cuculcanes, tucanes, garras, leather, charras, leather, y guelaguetzas, melas prestas, chiles en nogada, mojarras, sor Juana, migrantes preescolares, otoles, agaves, catedrales, huicholes, otiles, mushes, machos, chuchifos, gabachos, maras, moros, muros, cerros, perros, becerros, narros, marros, gacharros, chafiretes, toloache, chipotle, tehuanas, cacahuate, tameme, capirotada, michiote.
What do you want people who are in Mexico to get out of this film?
A glimmer of light, really, a reminder of what an incredible country they live in. And how there is so much more than what you hear on the news or what you see in the telenovelas, or, you know, there is this other thing that doesn't really, you don't see it anywhere.
I think that if we bring at least a moment of feel proud of yourself and be happy, sing, and get out of a Mexican film with a smile, I think we made a point. Because really, I think Mexicans right now, we are scared and we are depressed. Mm. We're thinking right now, and this is going to air soon, before or after we have a new president, and in a situation where we are really scared, where I don't remember, maybe that the revolution was the last time Mexicans really suffer all these death and war we're living in. So if we bring something where the people comes back and say, oh, I love what I saw, I feel deeply touched, and most of it I sang and I smile, I think that we made it.
And I'm stunned, because when I came, I mean, this is my third film, and my other two films are basically hippie films, and they're kind of cult movies, and some people know them and love them, and most people don't. And then so I was in Mexico, and I thought I was just doing another of my cult hippie films. But what I didn't realise is that because of what Lynn just said about that people have forgotten, that when Mexican people see the beauty, that's what makes them cry, because it is a beautiful reminder. And then beyond that, we've shown it in England, and I've shown it here in the States, in New York, and a couple of places. And the reaction from foreigners who really don't know and never heard about all those amazing things that are in Mexico, they're absolutely bowled over. And one of the criticisms that we're working with a lot is that it's a tourist film. Before people see it, they think, oh, it's just another tourist film. Come to Mexico, isn't it great? And in a way, it is. But not in any way that you've seen before, because you see, oh my God, Mexico is an incredible country full of incredible people. But it's not done in a tourist board way. So I'm really proud on both those elements of one, rekindling some joy about being Mexican for the Mexican people, and also just giving that global consciousness of Mexico a bit of a boost.
You know, and it also strikes me that my background is Mexican American. My grandparents came from Mexico right about 1910, right about the time the revolution started. My parents were born here. I'm born here. And I think what's also going to make a big impact is Mexican Americans see in this film. As for the generations that have lost cultural ties, lost the language, and maybe they hold on to the food, but man, this is really going to be a big deal, I think.
No, I totally agree.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, since I've got up here, I mean, another little story I'd like to say is I've been to Los Angeles, you know, 20 times in my life. But when the first time that I travelled up with Lynn and the crew, up for Tijuana, up over the border, through Chula Vista, with Los Ocales, and I got to Los Angeles, and I realised that I hadn't left Mexico. was like that really blew me away, because as an Englishman I come and I'd try to hang out in the little bits of English speak, you know, that's where I come to LA now, and especially I've come back now and I'm in the Mexican community, like, but it's really weird because there's a lot of second generation Mexicans. And I said, well, you know, when's the last time you went to Mexico? I went for a 2-week holiday when I was 15. And you go, wow, you really don't know Mexico, do you? But they're proud to be Mexican. Now that is just fantastic. The only other place I've come across that is in New Zealand, where the Maori people, even if you're 16th Maori, you say, I'm Maori.
Right.
Because it gives you something to hang on to. The modern world, there's not much to hang on to. The culture gets slaughtered by the commercial world that we live in. So if you've got some kind of heritage to hang on to, and I can really see that here, especially in Los Angeles, that the Mexicanity of second generation Mexicans is really strong.
Let's talk a little bit more about the music. It's so stunning. Is there going to be a soundtrack for this film?
Yeah, the soundtrack's done. It's a double album. It's an hour and 40 of music. And as we've already talked about, it includes many of the top names in Mexico at the moment.
The film is called Hecho en México. Duncan Bridgman is the director. Lynn Feinstein is the music producer. It will be released in New York and Los Angeles on November 30th. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you
very much.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear these songs on our website, and we want to remind you guys to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Also, tune in to Alt Latino Radio, where you can hear every song we've ever played on this show 24 hours a day, every day of the week.
And we want to thank our producer, Jessica Goldstein, for her help in assembling this show.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras. Thank you so much for joining us.
This has been Alt Latino.